Thursday, January 26, 1984, Chapel at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Our speaker today, Dr. John Eddins, Professor of Theology.
I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Today let us worship God in the beauty of His holiness. Let us call upon His name in prayer." Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we invoke Thy blessings upon us as we gather in this place to worship Thee, to honor Thy name, to praise Thee. As we gather today, Father, we pray especially for Jim Hamilton and his four children. And we thank Thee for his wife, Judy, and for the service she had here in this seminary. And we pray for Jim now and his family as they sustain the loss and as they are reoriented in life through Thy Holy Spirit. Father, we pray this morning that as we worship Thee in spirit and in truth, that we may gain in these few moments a new and deeper knowledge of Thee and a better understanding of ourselves, to the end that this day our words and deeds may be a source of comfort and strength and love to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
In a few more hours, some of us would be saying, thank God it's Friday. This exclamation has become commonplace among us, and it expresses a fulfillment of a secular hope which has drawn us to make it through another week. Making it through the week expresses a rather non-religious kind of perseverance, a steadfast persistence in the pursuit of a weekend filled with a cornucopia of pleasureful activities. Perseverance, a steadfast persistence in the pursuit of a goal, is a term dear to some of us who are religiously oriented towards the weekend. In a few more hours, many of us will be saying, thank God it's Sunday. Others of us may shorten the exclamation to a simple affirmation, it's Sunday. The goals by which we order our lives, whether they be secular or sacred, presuppose a certain quality of human character which we describe with the word perseverance. In the history of philosophy, theology, and ethics, perseverance and preservation have been complementary concepts. Preservation has attended primarily to the continued existence and persistence of the created order at the inorganic, organic, and biological levels. Perseverance introduces and brings into prominence personal existence and persistence, as these relate especially to human will or volition. In the history of Christian theology, perseverance has become a major doctrine of the church precisely at the point of the relationship of the freedom of a human will to the Christian life in the context of the grace of God in Jesus Christ for salvation. Perseverance includes a self-awareness of persistence, which is not generally associated with the preservation of creation. We persevere until Friday or Sunday with a self-consciousness which is irrelevant for books and buildings and word processes. In both the so-called secular and sacred realms, however, preservation and perseverance are oriented to a referent outside themselves, either in this world or another. Today, I direct your attention in worship to the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. My intention is to redress the balance, so to speak, in light of the church's inordinate preoccupation with perseverance in the context of election and predestination and apostasy, and the neglect of a New Testament concern with perseverance as a present experience of persistence and stickability in the worship of God and the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In AD 428 or 29, Augustine wrote on the gift of perseverance and on the predestination of the saints. He interpreted perseverance in the context of election and predestination in his battle with Pelagius. Unlike the New Testament, therefore, he oriented perseverance towards the past and the future on the one hand and towards God on the other. In the Augustinian, Calvinistic, and Baptist tradition, perseverance is God's absolute work in the saints rather than the saints' persistence through faith in Jesus Christ. James P. Boyce summarized this perspective in his Abstract of Systematic Theology. The doctrine of the final perseverance of the saints teaches that those who are effectually called of God to the exercise of genuine faith in Christ will certainly persevere unto final salvation. In his recent book, The Word of Truth, Professor Dale Moody devoted 18 pages to perseverance in the context of salvation and apostasy. Neither Moody's belief in apostasy nor Calvin's belief in the double-edged doctrines of election and predestination serves to show forth the New Testament teachings concerning perseverance, which are directly concerned with the living of the Christian life in the here and now, as well as having eternal life and the sweet by and by. The Bible does not give us an absolutely unqualified answer to election, predestination, and apostasy, as these pertain to the salvation or damnation of each person. Indeed, it cannot, since such knowledge would reduce the mysterious will of God to information for human manipulation. The noun perseverance occurs only once in the New Testament in Ephesians 6:18. Forms of the infinitive to persevere or to persist occur 10 times. In Romans 13:6, the participle refers to civil servants who function as ministers of God. All other references have to do with Christians, and the term the perseverance of the saints occurs only in the New American Standard Bible translation of Revelation 14, verse 12, where another Greek word, hupomone, is used. Although this Greek word is translated perseverance, as in Hebrews 12, verse 1, its primary meaning is endurance to the end. This aspect of perseverance should not be allowed to preempt perseverance as a present experience, without threats concerning one's ultimate salvation. Of the 11 uses of the derivatives of proskaterein, 10 are verbal forms indicating that perseverance is an activity rather than a state of being. The present tense of the verb occurs 6 times, the past tense in 4 verses, and the future tense only in Acts 6:4, where the immediate historical fulfillment of the future is anticipated. Furthermore, the context of the use of the word in 7 of these verses is worship. And more specifically, in 6 of these verses, persevering has to do with prayer in present experience. In the New Testament, therefore, persevering and perseverance have to do almost exclusively with Christians in their daily activities, with emphasis on devoting themselves to prayer and worship. The concept of being saved with or without the possibility of losing one's eternal salvation is drawn by some theologians of the church from such diverse passages as John 10:29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And Hebrews 6:4-6. For it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have been once enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they then commit apostasy, since they crucify the Son of God on their own account and hold him up to contempt. In neither of these two scriptures, nor any others used by the Calvinists or Arminians, do derivatives of the infinitive to persevere occur. We can conclude that the doctrine of the final perseverance of the saints, as set forth by most theologians, has little direct relationship to the Greek word translated perseverance or persevere. The gross distortion of a New Testament meaning of perseverance is a classic example of the tragedy of formulating Christian doctrines in a polemical situation. In such cases, the rather plain meaning of biblical teachings is either ignored or distorted in order to prove an interpretation which is usually quite irrelevant to the day-to-day existence of Christians and the ministry of the church. Perseverance of the saints has much more to do with the theology of the cross than a theology of glory. The proper context for this marvelous teaching is sanctification rather than eschatology. In his systematic theology, A.H. Strong has defined perseverance with a more biblical perspective. Perseverance is, therefore, the human side or aspect of that spiritual process which, as viewed from the divine side, we call sanctification. It is not a mere natural consequence of conversion, but involves a constant activity of the human will from the moment of conversion to the end of life. Strong's redirection of perseverance towards the present Christian experience is welcome, but he too fails to capture the New Testament emphasis on the worship of God and prayer in daily Christian living. Furthermore, Paul, in his classic description of the Christian warrior, relates perseverance outwardly towards all the saints and inwardly towards himself and his call to proclaim the gospel. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that utterance may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. In the New Testament, perseverance concerns the daily worship of God, persistence in ministry, and devotion to the proclamation of the gospel of God's grace for salvation in Jesus Christ. The strength of Dale Moody's criticism of election, predestination, and the perseverance of the saints is that he helps to make perseverance a doctrine which is acutely relevant to the living of the Christian life here and now. Thus, we are engaged in perseverance as we worship here in this chapel. I may be the first speaker in the history of the seminary to admit publicly that authentic worship involves the perseverance of the saints. In Acts, they devoted themselves to or persevered in prayer and were attending the temple together. The earliest description of the activities of the primitive church were those in which the disciples persevered, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. I suggest to you this morning that from the perspective of our worship of God and the call to proclaim the gospel, we order our lives so as to interpret redemptively those slings and arrows of outrageous fortune which befall us on those days when Murphy's Law reigns supreme. Persevering describes our Christian responses when our loved ones are ill or have died, when our friends are remote, our church members are hostile or indifferent, our denomination is preoccupied with petty concerns, our nation is managed by persons with selfish agendas, and our world seems bent on self-destruction. Persevering is not just for the young and old who attempted to gross immorality or who are facing the grim reaper. Persevering means persisting in prayer and worship, in the call to preach and to serve, in sustaining and enhancing loving relationships with all with whom we have to do, in making arrangements pleasantly when the car's transmission goes out, in regrouping our minds and refocusing our wills when examinations descend upon us, and picking up the pieces when our lives fall apart. Persevering means seeing life through to the end on a daily basis with confidence and joy in God, who raised Jesus from the dead and who gives us new life through the Holy Spirit. In my own life, a memorable experience of persevering happened in 1955, when Joanne and Carolyn, our baby daughter, and I visited my maternal grandmother, who was, at the age of 93, near death. I asked her how she had managed to live during these 49 years since Granddaddy Kennard died. With a twinkle in her eye and a confident smile on her face, she quickly replied, "When the going has been rough, I have just tied a knot in my rope and held on through faith in God." That experience and the memory of those words have helped to shape what persevering means to me. Therefore, today, as we persevere in worship and then leave this place, I can say 3 days hence, thank God it's Sunday. May we pray. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.